can, I grab a piece of grass and I crush it. I smell it and the memories come flooding back and I can remember every play.
Back then, your Monday mornings and how you feel are directly correlated to what happens on Sunday between 1 and 4 o'clock.
A lot of the guys that showed up, you know, we grew up together, bleeding, sweating, crying, dying, laughing, partying. We were just kids, really. You know, think about it. We were youngsters in the league, and we put the league on notice when we came in.
A lot of things happened before 85, so we stole a bunch of USFL players. That was one of the things that really propelled us into the success that we had.
I'm in the USFL. I wasn't a NFL fan, if you would, and I really wasn't a big Cleveland Browns fan. I didn't even know that Clay Matthews was supposed to be good. I didn't know Chip Banks was supposed to be good. I didn't know Hanford was supposed to be good. When I showed up in Cleveland, only one person that I knew anything about, and that was a guy by the name of Eddie Johnson. Matter of fact, I called him up and asked him about Hanford Dixon. And he said, yeah, you good, Frank, but you ain't that good. Hanford's way above you. He's faster than you. He's bigger than you. I would say you probably got two or three other people you're going to have to try to outplay just to get on the field. And that was enough challenge for me to come to Cleveland. And when I came to Cleveland, I had a little chip on my shoulder to make sure that wasn't going to be right.
85 was a great year. Record-wise, I mean, it wasn't the best, but it was good enough to get us in the playoffs.
We was still a little bit divided defensively. It was going back and forth. Were we going to play zone? Were we going to play man-to-man? I'll never forget when we leave the huddle, we go to the huddle in 85, we'd be running too much zone, and I would come out of the huddle and look at Dave Adolph and I'd do him like this. That meant one bump. That meant that me and Hanford was going to be man-to-man. We was going to be bump and run. And everybody else was going to be going after quarterback.
We practically didn't even go back to the huddle because we knew what we were doing. He had a guy, I had a guy, and that was our job.
If one thing came out of that season was what the philosophy was going to be going forward after that season was over with.
It was a hot day in Miami. Minnie and I had the task of going against Duper and Clayton with Dan Marino throwing bullets.
And I think me and Hanford held the Marx Brothers to one catch that day on national TV. Once we played that well against such an elite team, that kind of like gelled the philosophy on what we was going to be going forward after that.
The defense kind of seemed to carry the team 84 into 85, but then Bernie changed all that.
If we'd had any luck at all in 85, because we pretty much ran the ball down people's throats, the wheels didn't come off against Miami. We got tired, and the Miami Heat killed us in the second half.
I guess they called that Marty ball back then. Marty wanted to be a tough-minded, tough team on offense and defense. We ran the ball, and we ran the ball very effectively. Of course, we had Ernest and Kevin, 2,000-yard rushers.
We went from ground and pound to, you know, airing it out.
We were almost cocky. From me, Danny, and Cody to Ozzy, that's a good side, man.
I think it was the meshing of two different cultures.
Well, no disrespect to anybody here, but it was a joy to play in Lindy and Fonnie's offense.
But it was, Lindy called it pitch and catch. And a lot of teams do it to this day. They call it a West Coast offense.
But the good thing was he kept the play action pass. We kept the running game going. It was very successful from the year before. And he built on that. We still had a very viable offense that could explode at any time. It was fun.
We challenged each other. The offense on the other side of the ball, Reggie Langhorne, Webster Slaughter, Ozzie Newsome, Kevin Mack, Ernest Biner, Bernie Kosar. You know, it was really, really competitive in our practice. We didn't just let guys catch balls.
85, it was Thunderball. All we did was run the ball down your throat and throw play-action passes. In 86 and 87, we tricked you. We were smarter than you. We were more efficient. I mean, we were probably the best offense in football for at least 2 years, maybe 3 years. That was the jump out into space flight. You know, we went from Cro-Magnon to Marshot.
Don Rogers allowed us to do something that would really would have changed probably the history of the Cleveland Browns as far as Super Bowl is concerned.
Big, fast, intelligent free safety coming out of UCLA. And obviously he was our first round draft pick.
He could play the tight end one-on-one by himself.
And we needed that plug in the middle.
He picked off Dan Marino in the 85 game at the goal line and ran it back like 50, 60 yards to let me get a cheap touchdown.
Donnie was my locker mate. He was right next to me in the locker room. Talked every day.
I spoke to him the day or two before he went to California to get married. And honestly, to this day, he seemed troubled to me.
So sad because he had his fiance, his mom, his brother, and he also had a child, too.
He was missed.
Because the team was already had a very strong nucleus, we just came together. I mean, that was the difference, is that nothing was going to stop that 85 momentum.
From just the start in 85, it gave us confidence. 86 is when we really started believing. And from that point on, the road to the Super Bowl led through Cleveland.